Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 160. 160. Why doesn't that sound as fun as 150? I do not know. It could be the long I sound in the word five. Could just be that five is funner to say than six. I don't know. I do not know. But nonetheless, here we are. A little bit late. It is March 20th? And they keep saying on the radio it's the first day of spring. I thought the 21st was the first day of spring. This has been a little controversy that's been going on for me for several years now. When did the 20th become the first day? No idea. It does not feel like spring. Not that I'm complaining. And certainly other people in my household, namely the man and Jack, are not complaining because their allergies have been so bad the last week, and so that it is cold and rainy is a relief to them. To me, it's just, well, not depressing because I am not in any way emotionally affected by anything weather-wise. But it's a little like, come on, bring us the sun. The sun is coming on Saturday, which is tomorrow, so that's good. We could use it. Anyway, why so late? This week I've been sick. I get these bugs. And they last for 10 days. I always think that it's going to be a 24-hour bug. I'm so optimistic every time I get sick. And it's not like the flu. It's not like I'm incapacitated. It's just like a stomach thing. And I won't go into details about that. But mostly I just feel tired and out of it. But I still function. But I was supposed to do a very short school visit over at a school that's just a couple blocks away. And I know the librarian there very well. So she was completely understanding, and we have flexibility, so I'm going to go on Monday. But I just felt like I can't go in and just be like, You can't do that. You got to have a little life in you when you do these school visits. And I take walks. You know, it's been a while since I've taken a walk with my friend Doug. He's my old fiddle teacher. But, you know, it's probably every couple months we try to take a walk around town, and it's always fun, and I've had to keep canceling our walks, one reason or another. Last week was spring break, and we did nothing. I think I talk about this in the quilt diary. We do absolutely nothing. Sometimes we take a little bit of a short trip, but not talking about it. I talk about it later. So, but it's just not spring. It just, when everyone's at home, it's just not conducive for recording. I did work on a new quilt. You will see pictures. You can go over to the blog, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and you can leave comments there. Thank you to everyone who commented, and I think that's what I'm going to do very quickly, is go through comments, and then we'll get on with the quilt diaries, and then I can get this posted. Okay. Yes. So thank you for all your kind words about the mosaic quilt, which is just so exciting to have it done. I hope you have watched the video, which is on the blog, because it's really cool. It's just really a cool thing. Anyway, thank you to Brenda. Thanks to Terry. Thanks to Noni, who posted several comments. Thanks to Sandy. That's Sandy Quilts. Sandy with a Y. Quilt with a Z. And Sue in upstate New York. Thanks to Debbie. Oh, and Debbie went to QuiltCon, and she says it was fantastic. The quilts, the lectures, the classes, everything was terrific. Just being around so many other quilters was amazing. So I'm so glad that you had a good time, Debbie. And one year I'm going to go with you, and I guess now QuiltCon is every year, so who knows. And I love Austin so much. Oh, and I got another comment from Debbie. Love the double comments, triple comments, whatever. Any amount of comments, any number. I'll take them. She says she ran her first marathon when she was 51. And now she runs pretty much every day because I'm doing a little bit of running. And here's the funny thing. This always happens to me. I'm sort of turning over a new leaf. And last week I did yoga twice, which I really liked. And I've been running just a teeny tiny bit with Travis, but I've thought about trying to do more running, and all the stuff. And so I was like getting psyched up for doing more exercise, and then I get sick. But anyway, Debbie is currently training for a Ragnar, which we can Google if we're interested, but it's basically teams of 12 people who run from San Francisco to Napa, which is a little over 200 miles. One person runs at a time, and you just keep taking turns. Her team is her three daughters, her two sisters, a niece, and whoever else we can talk into joining. That sounds great. I would love to hear more about that. Heard from Jay, who has posted the flower basket block. This is the next block on our sampler, and I will try to remember to put a link to that. And Jay, I have not done the block yet, and I fear it may be a week or two. I'm so behind on everything now because of being sick, and next week is, I had to crowd a ton of stuff into it because I wasn't doing much this week. But I'm excited to do that. Heard from Marianne and Bermuda Girl. And I got a really interesting comment from Dawn, and I want to read it to you. Hey, Francis, I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning, but this is my first time commenting, I think. I was really affected when you talked about African-American quilts and the African-American Quilt Study Project. You see, I'm African-American, and I have inherited a few quilts from my mother-in-law. She got them from her mother-in-law, who got them from her grandmother, She had been using these quilts when our kids would come over until about 8 years ago when she noticed a name and a date embroidered on one of the quilts. It read Elizabeth 1879. She immediately gave me all of the quilts, and I've just kept them thinking that one day I'd have them appraised. I hadn't really thought about them until I listened to your podcast while driving and made sure I commented. I'm still not sure what I want to know if they're worth a lot of money, but I do like the idea of contributing to a study like this. I'm going to do a little research and find out if I can contribute. And then she, in a second comment, she said, I forgot to mention that my grandmother-in-law, who had the quilts, was born and raised in North Carolina, but then moved to Pennsylvania after she got married. I found this very exciting. And Don, I need to email you, and I probably will email you right after I finish recording this, because one, I would love to see pictures of the quilts. And I actually mentioned this on the American Quilt Study Group forum, and people said, oh, get her to send pictures. So if you have pictures, that would be great. And what I posted on the AQSG, I think that's the right acronym, was basically if they had any advice for you, because these are quilt historians and appraisers. And one person pointed out, you know, when you get a quilt appraised, you're not just finding out the value, but a lot of times you're finding out the provenance, a lot of historical information about the quilt. So it might be really worth taking these quilts in to have them appraised. You know, also, if they're valuable, you might want to have them insured, you know. And it sounds like they're historically valuable, so that's food for thought, too. But you might get a lot more information about the quilts, which is exciting. And, but I'm going to email you, and we can talk. I'd love to see the quilts. This is really just really, really cool. So thank you for commenting. And I heard from Jenny D., who also had nice things to say about the mosaic quilt. And she says, as a longtime listener and lurker, I wanted to thank you for sharing. I think a quilt novel series would be fantastic. And, I mentioned this in the Quilt Diaries, but I'll just tell you here. I did get a postcard back from AQS saying they have received my materials. So that's good. So we'll see where this journey takes us. All right, well, let's go on with the Quilt Diaries. But remember, I love getting comments, and you can go to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can email me at fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. That's North Carolina Roadrunner.com. Okay, let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2015. So it's been a beautiful day. Low 70s, sunny, breezy, really just gorgeous. Doors open, windows open, birds singing. Tomorrow, sleet and freezing rain. I really can't do this much longer. I don't complain about the weather. We all know this to be true about me. But really, I'm not complaining about the weather. I'm complaining about life. Really, I think life is asking too much of me to bear this weather. It's just, this is North Carolina. Let's get with the program. The average temperature this time of year is like 60 degrees, and we're getting freezing rain and sleet. I can't stand it. And, you know, the boys missed several days of school last week, and then Will has missed 2 days of school this week because he was sick. I thought last night I was getting sick too, but now I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm very suggestible. So I don't think I am. I'm not going to, but in any event. So that's just been weird. High temperature, stomach stuff. And, you know, I just like, let's just get to normal and nice. I just want normal nice. Maybe this will be the normal and nice episode. But actually, I did not get on here to complain about the weather because I don't complain about the weather. But I didn't even get on here to discuss the weather or poor Will, who I think is going to try to go back to school tomorrow. His color is back. He was walking around very gray and ashen. It's like, ooh. And now his color is back and his fever seems to be gone. So let's hope so. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I want to tell you is I sent off my quilting series, fiction series proposal to the American Quilt Society's executive book editor today. I finally got it all together. I ended up completely revising. I've only written two chapters of the first book, and I ended up completely revising them. And we're talking about 30 pages. And they're so much better than the first draft. And then I had to write a synopsis of three books, none of which I've written. So that was kind of fun. To kind of, I don't work like that. And then a series synopsis and all this different stuff. And then the cover letter and, you know, on and on. So it took a while. The man helped. You know, he used to work in publishing. He's very good at this kind of stuff. So we worked together. And we'll see. We'll see if the American Quilting Society wants it. We'll see if what their terms are. And I, you know, I'm a little bit afraid they're not going to be great. And then I'll have to decide what I want to do. If I want to go ahead with not great terms and see what happens. If I want to try self-publishing or if I want to try to actually write the first book and get an agent for it. So we'll see. Just one step at a time. But I just feel really good to have that done. And it always is fun to complete a project. And as you know, as quilters, we all know that. But I just thought I would share that with you. I have actually, since finishing the mosaic quilt on Saturday, I have cut out some squares here for my, what is it? In Grandma's Garden, so this is the Block of the Month Club that my mom and I did several years ago, or started several years ago, from Grandma's Attic. And it's a batik quilt called In Grandma's Garden, The Language of Flowers. I think that's the actual title. The Language of Flowers quilt. And I was interested because I thought of something that Jay had said recently in a comment about, we were, you know, the discussion being quilt history and should quilters know quilting history? And, you know, and I kind of feel like not necessarily. And one of the, and Jay agreed, but she did say, if you design something, you should check sources to make sure that someone else is not already designed that and published it. I think she was specifically referring to blocks, and what her pet peeve was is that someone would come up with a block design and say, here's this amazing thing I did. Well, you know, somebody actually did that first in 1872 or 1926 or what have you, and you should know your quilting history enough to at least check it, to not, you know, say I am the great originator of this design, because as we know from our previous discussions about these sort of things, it's very hard to be original as a quilt maker, as a quilt designer, as a block designer. So I was interested when I started this latest block. It's the September block called Fool's Square. And I thought, now, is this a block design that is a traditional design, or is this a design that... Okay, back up. I got a book used a couple weeks ago called Carolina Quilts, and it's a very early quilt study. It actually predates the Kentucky Quilt Documentation Project. And what it was is three folklorists who had a very serious interest in quilting documented quilts in three different parts of North Carolina. They didn't do a big documentation project, but they got a representative sampling of quilts from a county in the northeastern part of the state, which is both sort of tidewater, bordering on Virginia, and then from the county outside of Charlotte, so sort of south central North Carolina, and then a mountain community, a mountain county, or not way into the mountains, not way west, but a mountain community nonetheless. And so anyway, they were sort of trying to look, what, you know, are there different customs of quilting? And this is in the 70s, and we have to remember from our quilt history lessons that it wasn't like today, where we have 10 million magazines and pattern books and podcasts and websites, and information gets passed around very quickly and very easily. Back in the day, you could do things like go to a particular region and say, these quilts are representative of a region. Whereas today, outside of Amish quilt making and perhaps Hawaiian quilt making, I don't think that's so much the case. Although I could be wrong. But in any event, you could still in 1972 or 73, might have been a little later, may have been more like 1978, when these women went as part of, I think they were graduate students in the master's program in folklore at UNC. But it was still a time where you could go to different regions of a state, and North Carolina is a big state with very distinct regions, and find differences in quilt making. So all this to say, the block on the cover of that book, which I just got a couple weeks ago, is the same block. The folks at Grandma's Attic were calling the Fool's Square. So I was curious, is that the traditional name for the block, knowing that it was a traditional block, seeing it on the cover of this book about Carolina quilts? I looked it up, and it is indeed a traditional block called Fool's Square. So who knew? I'm learning more traditional blocks here. I've actually started testing myself a little bit. Sometimes I have all these books around now, and we'll just, glance or flip through and see different quilts and try to identify the blocks. And I'm not very good at it yet. I'm working on it. And there's so many stars. That's the thing. Like, I need to do star block flashcards. So I'm working on the Fool's Square, and then I'll have three more blocks on this, and I should just go ahead and get this done. We've been watching a lot of TV, I feel like. You know what we did yesterday? So this is like, why haven't you gotten this done? Well, like, I have to make excuses to you. But sometimes I wonder, it's like, why, what's taking you so long? You should be able to do a couple of these blocks a day and be done in no time. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just mostly it's just winter. But then yesterday, and this was really odd, we watched HGTV, Home and Garden TV, starting about 7:30 until 10. It's like they suck you in. It was this kind of one show. It's a couple. Both shows were in Texas. And one is this couple, and I don't know their names, but they take you around to different houses. So you're house hunting, and you say, I've got this budget. And then they take you to three or four houses. And all the houses need significant work. So you've got this budget, and they try to find a house that leaves you a lot. So you have $190,000 to spend. And then, so they look for houses that are like $100,000. So you have 90 for the remodeling. And they were on when we turned on at 7:30, and then again at 9. And The thing about this, and then at 8 was the show with Jen Hatmaker, who I like a lot, and she and her husband Brandon did a renovation show in the fall where they did a house. They kind of were the people doing this, and now they have a show called My Big Family Reno, and they help big families like theirs renovate houses as well. So, you know, anyway, it's all... It's kind of like you're going, you know, we just did a tiny bit of kitchen work and we don't really think these estimates people are getting are accurate, but that's us. But the thing that kills me about these shows is like, so you agree to be on it and you're taken to 3 houses. And this couple last night on the Hatmaker show, you could tell they didn't really like any of the houses. And I just thought, you are just kind of screwed. Forgive my French. But, you know, that's just kind of felt like, you kind of felt them looking at each other like, what have we gotten ourselves into? What a terrible idea this was coming on the show, because they've shown us these 3 really hideous houses. Well, they ended up picking one, and it turned out the renovation was very nice, and they did a good job on it. But, yeah, I don't know why it's impossible to step away from those shows. And, yeah, I just can't. But anyway, so I'll never turn those on again. Because I'm just like, I can't tell you the last time, except like on a movie night. But just where I sat down and watched TV with commercials for 2.5 hours. That's weird. But you know what? Tonight we've got Modern Family, Blackish, and then Broadchurch begins its run on BBC America at 10. Have it set to record in case we get sleepy. But yeah. Anyway, so that's why I'm not doing quilting. All I do is sit around and watch TV. I'm horrible, horrible. Just started a new book called Ghetto Side. It's nonfiction. It's by a Los Angeles Times reporter looking into essentially the situation in South Central Los Angeles, where they're just a really high percentage of... a really high number of black-on-black homicides, predominantly black males. And this reporter's a woman. She's very good. If you like David Simon, if you ever read Homicide, which is a great crime book, this is like that. And what I like about it, she's very, she's really good at drawing characters. And so far, we've really just been introduced to the police, and she's sympathetic to them. To at least to the officers who she's profiling, which is kind of refreshing. You know, I understand. We all know it's a hard job. Like any job, there are people who are corrupt and there are people who are lazy and there are people who are doing really cruddy jobs. And we've just gotten the Ferguson reports released, which suggests the police in Ferguson really need to up their game quite seriously and have a lot of problems. But there are police who do really good, important work. And she clearly thinks that these homicide detectives that she's following, she likes them and is doing a great job of describing them and how they work. So it's really interesting. I just started it. It got really good reviews in the New York Times and pretty much everywhere where it's been reviewed. So if you like that kind of thing, so far it's good. Now I just started it, so I can't really recommend it to you. But maybe later. And I'm excited because I have the new Anne Tyler book on hold at the library. It's funny, Terry posted something on Facebook. You guys know Terry. She's always number one on Fitbit, but a lovely person and a quilt maker, so we love her. But anyway, she posted something about she had 4 books on hold at the library that came in all at the same time, which I have had happen. And it's really just like, oh my goodness. You know, it's like you have nothing to read, and then suddenly you have everything to read, and you have 3 weeks to read 4 books. So, yeah, and I've got a couple books. Station 11 is one of them. And I can't remember the other, but yes. So I've got a couple more novels that I want to read very much. And they're not in, but I have a feeling they'll all come in all at the same time. So yes, but I want to finish Ghetto Side. It's good so far and interesting. And I also think it's such a huge problem. And you know, it's a problem that we're clearly thinking about a lot as a society right now, because it's... you know, with things like Ferguson becoming highlighted. And I think one of the things that comes up very early in this book is one of the problems is people don't care. And if you do care, it's kind of, you don't know quite how to care. Do you know? I mean, it's like you care, but you feel like, what could I do about it? So I don't know. And I'm hoping this book will suggest some things that we can do to care more and stop it. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem in our culture. The homicide rate among Black men, particularly young Black men. We're losing a lot of good people. Yeah. Anyway, off my soapbox there. So I need to go make Will some waffles, frozen waffles. Do you know, here's one last thing. I am having a bad Zen cooking week. Do you ever have those? I mean, I'm a good cook. I'm not a great cook, but I can cook everything, you know, certainly the things that are in my repertoire. I tend to do a good job on. I can roast a turkey. I can roast a beef. I can make a good pot of spaghetti. You know, just your basic stuff I can do. But some weeks, something is off. And I'm having one of those weeks this week. Yeah. So anyway, I made a meatloaf tonight. It's not great. And usually I can make a really good meatloaf. And this is just like, not a good meatloaf. Not terrible. Little ketchup, little A1 sauce. It's going to cover up all the sins. But yeah, so it's just weird to me when I have weeks like that. And this is one of them. And, you know, it's kind of a drag because you put so much time and money and effort into it. It's like you would at least like your stuff to be edible. It's edible, just not great. All right, off to toast some waffles, which I think I can do without too many problems. Okay, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary, day 2. It is Tuesday, March 17th, 2015. My last Quilt Diary, I believe, is March 4th. So that's kind of almost 2 weeks. What's been going on? You know, Will was sick. And then we had spring break. Before that, we had 2 weeks of snow. I'm trying to make excuses. Why not the weekly podcast that we've come to know and love? Just winter and illness. And now my own illness. I was at Sunday school on Sunday. I'm taking this really good class. It's called Jesus Was a Criminal. It's very interesting. And right in the middle of it, I had gone feeling like maybe I had allergies or something was a little funky. And right in the middle of Sunday school, I just had that feeling. You know, that feeling was like, oh, I'm sick. And I am. It's not terrible. I've been highly functional. I mean, I worked yesterday, not writing, not creative work, and didn't quilt, but did some work for NC Folklife and some sort of, you know, just kind of taking care of business kind of work. And, you know, drove Will to practice, did the usual stuff. So it's not like I'm on, you know, flat on my back with the flu. But last night I actually had one of those 24-hour bugs because I feel just fine. And then I woke up this morning, I'm like, well, I feel okay. And I took Trav out. I'm like, oh, but, you know, we walked for about 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. And then by lunchtime, I was like, ooh, woo. So, but who wants to talk about illness? Not me, not you. But I'm just trying to give you all the excuses. Most of the excuses being along the lines of there have been people home all the time. And as my fellow podcasters will tell you, even though your family knows that you podcast, one, as soon as you start recording, someone will come in and they need something. Or two, they'll walk by and they just give you that look. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's not ideal. Not ideal. For podcasting. But you know, enough of that. That's just how it is. We'll get back to one time a week one of these days soon. Maybe. I just saw the mailman go by. And yesterday, you know what came in the mail? My postcard. When I sent my manuscript to AQS, which I probably did right about the time of my last quilt diary. I think I might have done it the next day, but I think it was like March 5th. I included, among all the materials that they request, I included a self-addressed stamped postcard, in which I had written on it, your materials have been received. I typed that up and taped it to the postcard and put a stamp and put AQS Paducah, Kentucky. And it was a G's Bend postcard, so they would know my heart's in the right place. And I don't know what's going to happen with all of this. It could be I'll go down to the mail and what I will see now is a big package with everything returned because they're not looking at manuscripts right now. But I don't think so. I don't think they would have sent my postcard back if, in fact, they were just going to put everything back with the note saying, yeah, we're not considering manuscripts right now. You know, I hope they like it. They may not. It may not fit in with what they're trying to do, or they might like it, and I might not like the terms they offer. Who knows? But getting the postcard back at least made me feel like, okay, these people, they've got somebody competent working in their offices. They're professional. It didn't take them weeks and weeks to even open the mail, right? They opened my package and they looked through it. They found the postcard and they posted it. And you would think that's a really low bar for feeling good about an organization, but I have to tell you, these days, it's actually not. And you know, you may be fully aware of that someone can open a package, look through the materials, do what needs to be done right away. It gets rarer and rarer. That's hard to say, rarer. It's like rural. Rural. No, let's not go down that road. Anyway, so it's less usual these days. So that made me feel good. It's like, all right, at least I feel like this is not a messed up office where everything's in a disarray. That they're functional and professional. And, you know, I'll let you know what I hear from them. We'll see what the next step is. Last week was our spring break. I'm sure every year of this podcast, besides the first year in which I think I didn't. Yeah, we're almost at 5 years and it's in May. So that was probably the only year I didn't. 2010 is probably the only year I didn't complain about the timing of our spring break, which is the second week of March, which is a horrible time unless you're rich. And guess what? We're not. I was asked Will yesterday when I picked up. I'm like, where do people go? I was like, people took Disney cruises. People went to the Caribbean. People went to Paris. I have a friend in the upper school, one of my mom friends whose daughter is in Jack's class. They went to Rome. They always go to Europe. So, you know, and what do? We stay here. Now, in part, then there have only been a couple years where we've not gone anywhere. The problem is the man covers the state legislature as part of his job. So if the legislature's in, he's pretty much got to be there. He can't take off a week and be just away from the office and out of touch with the office. He can't take vacation in that way. So that, but in the past, it's like we've gone to Monticello last year. We went to Jamestown. We've been to Charleston. So there have been years where we've taken like 2 or 3 day trips, more like 2 day or 2 night trips. But we can't really, and to be honest, we don't have, it's not in our budget to go to the Caribbean. Although, you know what? If I get any kind of money, at some point, I want to go to the Caribbean in the second week of March. Don't want to take a cruise because I'm afraid I get seasick, but I would love to do that. Will and I were talking about that. Maybe next year, he and I would just kind of jump on a plane and go to the Caribbean. I did quilt. I didn't do a lot of work. You know what's killing me, too, about getting sick this week? This is the week I was like, I'm getting back to work. I'm getting back into the groove. And, of course, I get sick right away. Why couldn't I have I gotten sick last week when it actually would have been a good week because we weren't doing anything. I could have done a bunch of reading without feeling guilty, like, oh, I should be working, you know? So I did some reading last week. And before I forget, I just finished A Blue Thread. I think it's A Blue Thread, not The Blue Thread, by it's the new Ann Tyler book, which I liked. You know, it didn't get a rousing review in the New York Times, although it was the mean reviewer who's name I can't pronounce. It's Japanese. And she's a good reviewer, but she's very hard. And she was hard on this book. I mean, she didn't say it was horrible, but it was like not the best Ann Tyler. And, you know, it wasn't the best Ann Tyler, but even mediocre Ann Tyler, I really enjoy. And I actually, there was a lot about this book that I liked. I thought there were places where it went slack. And I thought there were a couple characters. It's a book about a family and, you know, adult children, aging parents,
kind of thing. And I would have to say that there are two daughters in the family, and I couldn't tell them apart. They had like no distinct personality. So there was stuff like that where you just felt like it wasn't her best, but it was still enjoyable. She can still write a book, you know? So I would recommend it. I also finished Ghetto Side, which I may have talked about in the last quilt diary. I have no idea what I talked about in the last quilt diary, but I may have talked about it, and it's really good. It's a really good crime read, nonfiction crime. But also just a really, really interesting look at inner city America. And it's so insightful in what it has to say. If you don't live there, how do you understand what's going on? Well, one way is to read this book. So, Ghetto Side. The last name is a little odd. It's like Leovi. So it's like Levy, but then there's an O thrown in there. First name Jill. Really well written, really interesting to me. But last week. So I did do some reading, but actually I really did the most reading on the blue thread this weekend when I got sick, or Sunday. Anyway, yes. But I also worked on a quilt. I also worked on a quilt. You know, so this quilt is for a friend of mine. And it's someone who, it's an interesting friendship. And she wouldn't listen to this podcast. So, but there's part of me who's like, well, you know, whatever. But she is one of my younger friends. She's in her mid-30s. She has three kids. Her oldest son is one of Will's good friends. And we have been good friends over the years since the boys were in first grade. But it's been a friendship. It's not like a spill your guts over a glass of wine kind of friendship. And I don't know if she has those kind of friendships. She might, but she might, it might be with people her own age, women her own age, where she feels more connected to women who also have really, she has, her youngest is in kindergarten, so maybe women who have kids who are young like that, that she's close to, but we're not close that way. But we really help each other out, and she has helped me out many times, and I have helped her out many times, and I like her. She's a lovely person. But we've had some conflicts, and she's very I feel like she's someone who, in so many ways, again, just delightful and nice and funny. But there's a hard side to her, and a judging side. And she has very clear ideas of how you should do things, how you should raise your children, how you should spend your time. And we're just really, really different. And she pushes her children to be very involved in stuff. And I think they like being really involved in stuff. I think they enjoy it. Whereas my kids are like us. They're more introverted. You know, they love staying home last week. I mean, I think they would have enjoyed going to the Caribbean, but I think they I mean, I asked them, do you want to go someplace? Do you want to get in the car, drive someplace? And both of the boys were like, no, just want to hang out. They read, Will went outside and played basketball, and he watched a lot of Andy Griffith. They both were on the computer too much. Will had baseball. They slept in every day. I mean, Jack was getting up earlier than Will, you know, so it was very, and that was fine. And like, if you're happy doing that, I don't see any reason to make, you know, other than to get you out of the house from time to time, just to get some exercise and fresh air. You know, Jack had a friend over. I don't think, you know, Will had baseball, so he saw friends then. But yeah, but that's my feeling. It's like, well, yeah, everyone needs to just chill out. Yeah, we've talked about that before here. Anyway, but this friend of we've had some conflicts recently, and it is over them inviting Will to do some stuff and Will not wanting to do it, and me going, okay, you know, just because he was tired or he had had a lot going on. Will is very picky about like his weekend stuff. Like if he's got one thing, like if he's got a game on Saturday, he doesn't want to do anything else. He wants to do his game and then he wants to chill. You know, so anyway. And this friend has been kind of pushy about that, and kind of going, why does he need to chill, kind of stuff. And we had another conflict where I had emailed her saying that Will was there was a certain activity Will was not going to participate in anymore. And it was an activity that her child sometimes participates in, but has a very busy lacrosse schedule and actually has not been very active in. Is sometimes, and that's been one of our conflicts, that there have been times where he's been able to go to this activity and Will has not wanted to, and my friend has not been happy about that. So I finally just emailed her and said, and just said, you know, Will's not going to do this for the rest of the year. He's got some other stuff going on. This has not been a good fit for him, blah, blah, blah. And she sent me back an email instead of going, okay, you know, I hear you. Sure, different, you know, different choices for different families. She sent back an email just basically telling me how wrong I was for making this decision. But first of all, her first thing was that she was very defensive because, so one of the reasons this activity had not worked out for Will was because her son wasn't there very often because of lacrosse. So that had made it less fun for Will. And she became like, you can't make decisions, choices for your kids based on other families' schedules and all this stuff. And you always have to be careful with email, right? Reading email and interpreting email because, you know, you just tone is hard. And I try to be really careful writing emails. To be very friendly. I'm not really in real life an exclamation mark kind of gal, but in my emails I am. I don't do emoticons very often because I don't really know how. But I do exclamation marks, hey, you know, gratitude, thanks, everything to kind of make sure tonally I'm coming off as friendly and not snide or sour or sarcastic or whatever, because I just know emails. So, you know, but I read that email from her many, many times, and like it was judging and, a little not friendly. I just felt like, wow, we've kind of been friends, and again, not bosom buddies, but friends for a long time. And I can't think of any other person I know who would have sent that email who wouldn't have been like, oh, that's too bad. But maybe things will work out later, or maybe this or that. But, you know, I just keep thinking, well, she's young. She does not have, I would say, a very wide life experience. And she's also a perfectionist. And so she has very, very strong ideas about, you know, how things should be. And she has, this for a lot of you will be very damning, but she does have a really clean and organized garage. It's incredible. And her whole house is lovely. And, you know, and her kids have matching haircuts. I mean, which doesn't sound funny until you understand they all have long hair. And they always have. And that's something, and which is, to me, is interesting. They're all boys. To think, it never occurred to me to style my family. So that's, yeah. And I know some people do that with clothes. But very much here's presenting a picture of a very together group of people. She blogs and has an Instagram account, and it's like, look how much fun we're having. And, you know, it's like, and to be honest, from what I have seen of her life and her family's life, they do have a good time. The children are really nice kids. The family seems really tight. The marriage seems good. But I also know you can't know anything. We don't know anything about each other, the interiors of each other's lives, unless we cop to them, right? Unless we actually own up and say, well, on the outside, everything's looking really great. And on the inside, some things are great and some things are really hard. And I think my closest friends are the ones where you could say that, or you can say, here's the thing about the man that I'm having a really hard time with. You know, and partly is a trust issue. My really close friends know the man and they know he's great. He's one like the world's best people, but he's not the world's perfect person. You know, I think a good marriage, of course, you always recognize that you're even less perfect than your spouse, and that keeps things going. But, you know, but anyway, I'll talk about that and talk about stuff with the kids. And my kids, they're really nice, great kids. They do really well in school. They don't get in trouble. They're kind, not to each other particularly, but to other people, and are interesting and interested. Yeah, so they're all good, but they've got their stuff. They're a little bit quirky. We've had, you know, like any parent, yeah, I've had plenty of stuff to worry about. I still do, and still wonder what kind of job I'm doing, and just hope that the proof's in the pudding, because right now the pudding looks good, but I also understand the pudding, mold could grow on the pudding. We don't know what's happening with the pudding, right? Right now it's in the fridge and it looks good, but I don't know. So all that stuff. So people who are very careful about how they present to the world and very careful about not letting any of the icky inside stuff show up is interesting to me, because just with my friends, and I do a lot of public speaking, and I'll talk about failure. you know, because I think it's important. Yeah, I think especially if you're successful, and I've been successful as a children's book author, to go, yeah, it's not perfect. It's not great. You know, I've failed. I've had manuscripts that, you know, been rejected and all that stuff, because I think it's really important to be human with one another. So, all this to say, this most recent conflict took place on Sunday, and I emailed, she emailed back, and then I emailed back, and I swear, and I spent a lot of time on this email, was very like, oh, you know, not blaming you at all, and that, you know, because she was so defensive about her son. This is a church thing. So her son is doing lacrosse on Sundays and sometimes is missing church activities, sometimes miss church, which, you know, it's a hard thing. It's a culture we live in. If you're an elite athlete, you're going to do stuff on Sundays, and a lot of parents struggle with that. And I personally am not interested in judging other parents for those kind of decisions. But anyway, so yes. Where was I going? So I emailed her about and tried to be just like, ah, oh, don't worry about that, you know, da da da, and tried to be really open about just like, you know, this is some of this stuff is really hard for us being introverted and da 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 and blah blah blah, and I wish it were other, and just tried to be really honest and open and vulnerable. And she's not, it's, what is it? It's Tuesday, and I'm not heard back. Now maybe she's been busy. Maybe she's had the flu. I don't know. I'm just using this as an opportunity to practice compassion and loving kindness and not judging and trying to think about where's she coming from? Where's she coming from with this stuff? Why is that her response and not a more loving response? Because the one thing that's better about being 50 than 35 is that you understand very little about how people treat you is about you. It's so much more about them. So, but that happened Sunday. Well, the week up till Sunday, I was working on a quilt for her. And part of the reason I was working on this quilt, it's a very simple quilt. It's a star quilt. It's modern. It does have a star. It's all solids. She's very, you know, she's young and very modern herself and likes that aesthetic. So it's a gray background. The color she likes, you know, are orange and turquoise. And so although my oranges are really in the setting, they're reading pink or red. So that's kind of irritating, but because it's like a tangerine, the dark orange is really tangerine and the light orange is peach. And when you put them together, they just read pink and red. What are you going to do? But part of the reason I just wanted to make her this quilt is, in a way, is like acting in a loving way toward her. We'd had some conflict a little while back, but kind of felt like we had smoothed over it without really dealing with it. But I'm just like, I just want to do something. And she, last summer, as I said, our friendship is really a friendship where we help each other out. And last summer, she took Will to the pool all the time with her kids. And I had offered, I said, you know, let me, I, as a way of saying thanks, let me babysit for you one night and you and your husband go out to dinner and movie. And she said, oh, that's a great idea, but never. And I offered it a couple times. And she would seem very like, oh, yeah, we have to get that. We have to figure out. But it never happened. And sometimes stuff like that, for whatever reasons, doesn't work out. I'm not reading anything into that. I probably could, but I won't. But I just felt like, so partly it's a quilt, sort of a thank you quilt, because I really, because she really did. She took Will all the time to the pool. But also as a way of practicing loving kindness and putting love into the world and trying, you know, to be in compassion and all those things. So it's very hard to spend a week on this quilt top, which is really cute, and I'll have a picture of it. I'll have a picture of the before shot. So I finished the top, and there was something missing. So I have added something to the top and bottom. So you will see the original quilt top in this issue, because I'm not going to have it quilted. You know, especially now that I don't feel well and I don't want to sew while I don't feel well. So it may be a week or so before it's quilted. But yeah, so, but by Saturday, I had the top done and I had the sandwich made. I was so excited because I had enough batting. I had a big piece of batting, so I didn't have to go buy batting. It's a small quilt, it's like 40 wide by 50 long. So it's, you know, it's just a lap quilt. And I know she'll really like it. And I'm going to give it to her. I don't know when. I think I'm going to email. If I don't hear from her in response to my last email by tomorrow, I'll probably email her and just say, you know, we seem, you know, why no email? Why no response? Let's talk. Let's try to work through this instead of just, and I don't expect a response to that either, or a satisfying response. I don't think I'll get a response with like, oh, I'm just feeling vulnerable and defensive and da-da-da, and your friendship is, I don't think I'm going to get that from her, but I'm not going to give up on her either, you know. But anyway, I don't know. I don't get people. I do think, but you know what's been good about this situation for me is I really have thought about my other friends and how much I appreciate them. And how much, how fortunate I've been to have friends who are honest and who share about their lives and who listen to me and affirm me. And even if we're in conflict, are really trying to work with me. You know, we're trying to work together to get out of that. You know, I'm lucky in that way because I feel like I've had a lot. You know, I've had some friendships. It depends, you know, where the conflict has been enough to dissipate the friendship. That happens too. But by and large, I have very nice friends who don't leave me hanging, you know, who would have replied to my first email in a very compassionate and loving way. So, you know, so it's not like a bad situation. It's not eating me up. I'm just trying to be a grown up about it and be a decent human being about it. So I made a new, I've made another quote that I hadn't really planned on making, but it is almost done, and I like it. I think it's cool. Boy, it was just, you know, it's something to put together a quilt top in a week, less than a week. You know, it really is. After the mosaic quilt, it just took forever, and it probably took forever because I kept putting it down. Now I've got to. Jay has posted the tutorial for the basket block that we're working on next, and I will try to remember to post a link to that. I will also have pictures of, I've made a couple new blocks, two or three new blocks for my in grandmother's garden. That can't be what it's called. It may just be called In the Garden quilt. That was the block of the month that my mom and I started way back. So I'll have a picture of that too. All right, I'm actually starting to fade here. So I'm going to finish up. And then a little later, I'll do my introduction and we'll get this posted. Sorry to be gone for so long. I will do better in the future. All right, I guess this is the end of the episode. So have a good week or two. I'll see you soon. Do leave a comment. You know that I love them. And remember that life is short, so quilt first. Bye.